From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ira Melman. The U.S. and Russia together try to put a damper on violence in Syria. With Syria's February ceasefire showing signs of fraying, the U.S. and Russia have announced plans to try to reinforce localized ceasefires in the coastal province of Latakia, as well as the Damascus suburb of eastern Ghouta. U.S. officials said Friday the renewed cessation of hostilities in the two regions would take effect at midnight Damascus time. Word of this agreement comes after about 230 people were believed to have been killed in fighting between the government and the rebels during the past week in Aleppo, which was Syria's most populous city before civil war broke out 5 years ago. Among those killed, at least 50 people in a hospital that was hit in an overnight strike. U.S. officials say Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov discussed details of the plan Friday. However, officials say talks on the renewed cessation had been underway for some time. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
So our hope is that by refreshing this agreement and focusing our attention on these two particular areas, we can build momentum again toward a broadly observed cessation of hostilities.
Officials said the U.S., Russia, and other members of the 17-nation International Syria Support Group would use their influence with either the Syrian regime or the opposition to try to get both sides to comply. The U.N. mission to Iraq says it is gravely concerned after anti-government protesters breached the heavily guarded Green Zone and stormed Parliament. The U.N. Assistance Mission for Iraq is headquartered in the Green Zone, along with most government ministries and embassies. This is VOA News. Iranian moderates and reformists who support President Hassan Rouhani in last year's landmark nuclear deal have failed to secure a majority after parliamentary runoff elections, but the bloc will retain the highest number of seats, followed by hardliners and then independents. State TV announced the results for all of the remaining 68 contested seats Saturday, the day after the runoff was held. The new assembly, which will convene next month, will be far friendlier to Rouhani, but his supporters will have to ally with independents whose views vary depending on the issue in order to push through legislation. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei remains the top decision maker in the country and would have to support any major policy changes. Kenya's president set fire Saturday to 105 tons of elephant ivory and more than a ton of rhino horn, believed to be the largest stockpile ever destroyed, in a dramatic statement against the trade in ivory and products from endangered species. Uhuru Kenyatta put a flame to the biggest of 11 pyres of ivory tusk and one of rhino horn in a chilly afternoon inside Nairobi National Park.
New generation of poachers armed with new weapons and connected to vast new markets across the world, threatens to exterminate them. The proceeds of violence and death are recycled into crime, threatening not just our natural heritage, but also the stability of our states and the safety of our communities.
The stacks of tusk represent more than 8,000 elephants and some 343 rhinos slaughtered for their ivory and horns, according to the Kenya Wildlife Service. Kenyatta said his country will push for a total ban on trade in ivory at the 17th meeting of the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species to be held in South Africa later this year. Rescuers in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, are searching for survivors after flooding caused a seven-story residential building to collapse Friday night, killing at least 10 people. Authorities say more than 120 people have been pulled from the rubble and taken to hospitals for treatment since the building came down. An unknown number of people are believed to be still trapped. China has denied a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier access to a port in Hong Kong. Pentagon said Friday the USS Stennis and its accompanying vessels were refused entry into the port. The reason for denying access to the port was not clear. China did send a statement to Reuters saying visits by U.S. military ships and aircraft to Hong Kong have always been approved on a case-by-case basis in accordance with the principle of sovereignty and the specific situation. I'm Ira Melman.
That's the latest world news from VOA.